Is the aid going to Colombia high-interest loans, or is it real gifts? That's question one. What we're calling aid is a, I wouldn't call it a gift, because it's a terror. I don't call jet planes gifts, but it's given to Colombia. It's paid for by the U.S. taxpayers. If you look at the lobbyists in Washington on the Colombia plan, you'll see where it's going to. The main lobbyists are military industry and the oil corporations. They're lobbying because they want American taxpayers to buy military helicopters, chemical weapons, biological weapons, send arms and so on to carry out actions in Colombia, which will be in their interest. So Colombia, they'll pay for it, but they'll pay for it in blood, not in dollars. That's the kind of aid that's being given. Aid is a bad word for it. The second question was we should look at Colombia uniquely because of its unique properties, not in the context of places like, say, Turkey. I mean, I partially agree with that. Every place has its own specific problems. But we misunderstand what's going on in the world unless we see the patterns. Remember, we're not talking about the problems of Colombia, Turkey, Bolivia, East Timor, and so on. We're talking mainly about the United States. These problems trace back here. And there are patterns that extend over time and over places. They're adapted to circumstances. Each country is individual. But I think it is extremely significant to notice that that military aid to Turkey, as I said, I'll repeat it, shot up, not because of the Cold War or anything else, but because of the need to suppress the domestic insurgency, which was a reaction to enormous repression. And that aid, so-called aid, declined when the insurgency was destroyed with extreme brutality, some of the worst brutality of the 1990s. And as it declined and moved from first place, Colombia moved into first place because it's facing the same problems. It has carried out the military and its paramilitary forces, aimed and trained by the U.S., have carried out immense atrocities. Like Colombia now has the largest internal refugee population in the world, outside of Sudan and Afghanistan, I think, third in the world. And the number of killings is enormous and going up. But it hasn't succeeded, so that's becoming in first place. And that's only pieces of a much bigger pattern. I mentioned Central America and others. And I think it makes good sense to look at the global patterns if we want to understand what's happening. But yes, I agree with you that we should look at the specifics of Colombia, and that's, in fact, most of what I talked about. As to the narco traffickers being pervasive in Colombia, that's not exactly what I said. I quoted the Drug Enforcement Agency of the United States government, the leading agency concerned with drugs, which published a major report on this. And what it pointed out is that narco-trafficking is pervasive at every level of government in Colombia. Okay? That has nothing to do with whether Colombians are decent people. Sure, they are very decent people, but they're not at the highest levels of government. At the higher levels of government, it's just narco-trafficking is pervasive, including the military and including the paramilitary associates. Actually, for the first time, the main paramilitary leader, Carlos Castaño, appeared on television. If you're Colombian, you know this, appeared on television a couple of weeks ago. And he announced publicly that 70%, that's the figure I gave, that 70% of their funding was from narco-trafficking. And as I say, the Colombian government attributes 80% of the atrocities to them, and they're vicious atrocities. So yeah, it's pervasive at the high levels of government and right throughout the military. I mean, just last year, a Colombian Air Force plane was stopped for some, somebody investigated it for some reason in Florida, and they discovered drugs all over the place and impounded the plane, and a couple of high military officers ended up in jail. That was because it was a random inspection. But it's no secret that the military, the narco-traffickers, the landowners, and the government are all in bed together, and that the paramilitaries are part of it, exactly as they say. You pointed out correctly that part of the problem in Colombia is the consumption here. But that's what I'm talking about when I say that peasants seek to when peasants are driven to seek agro-export, which has a stable market, they are forced into drug production because there's a stable market. And the stable market is here. And if you want to deal with that aspect of the problem, which we should, you know, there's a way to do it. The way to do it is by prevention, treatment, and elimination of the socioeconomic conditions that lead to it. That's here, you know, and I ended up talking about that.